Men, when we leave the house, it's phone, wallet, keys, how's my hair look? But if you're experiencing hair loss, you may not be so confident when you step outside your door. It's time to get that confidence back and restore your hair with Hims. No man wants to lose his hair, but for men, it's actually quite common. And now with Hims, the solution is simple. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who got their flow back. Men, real talk. The only thing worse than losing your hair is waiting forever for it to grow back. That's why you need Hims, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple, with doctor-trusted treatment options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. They offer personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatment options, so you can find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online. Just answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to your door. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, so if you feel like you're losing a part of yourself with your hair loss, get Hims and get your confidence back. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
DFA fam, the time is finally here. It is week one. We have your running back rankings. Let's not waste any time, Kev. Let's just jump right into it. These are going to be our consensus running back rankings for week. Kicking off, no surprises here. We have CMC at one, followed by Breece Hall, Bijan Robinson, Jonathan Taylor, Saquon Barkley at five, Jahmyr Gibbs, Travis Etienne, Isaiah Pacheco, Devon Achane at nine, Kenneth Walker, Rashad White, and Kyren Williams at 12. Kev, among these RB1s, anyone that you want to touch on, anyone you had a little bit higher, a little bit lower, how are you feeling about these RB1s for week one?
Yeah, first thing that I want to talk about is going to be Jonathan Taylor. They play Houston this week. Jonathan Taylor enters pretty much as the unquestioned lead back, with very little behind him. Last season, he averaged 17 carries and 2.3 targets per game, but that was splitting touches at times with Zach Moss. This year, we're really not going to have to worry about that whatsoever. Obviously, he gets the bump with that Anthony Richardson as well. Now, I will say Houston was a really solid run defense in 2023, allowing the 8th fewest rushing yards per game. However, they did allow the 5th most rushing touchdowns. Texas also ranked 27th in explosive run rate allowed. They also had a stuff rate of 49.2% as well, which is the 3rd highest rate in the league, and allowed 2.35 yards after contact per attempt, which was 17th. So this Houston run defense was actually pretty solid last year. They've made some improvements as well, added some more to this defense this year. So this is the slam dunk matchup that it used to be, but I still really like JT, mainly because of volume. He's going to see a ton of it, and I think Anthony Richardson also opens things up for him as well. Still running behind one of the best offensive lines in the league as well. So JT is really strong this week. Next up, you have Kenneth Walker, somebody who I really like this offseason. There's been a ton of buzz surrounding Walker and his expected usage heading into 2024. You have Ryan Grubb and Mike McDonald both have talked ad nauseum about Walker and how they think he could be a three-down workhorse. We're going to want to see a much higher usage in the passing game for him to push him into the top 12 this year. But last season, Walker only ran a route of 35.6% of his passes, which ranked 38th, and as well as a 7.7% target share. If you get much closer to 10 to 11% this season, Walker, I think, is going to be a steal for people. And then the really good news is they get off a great matchup week one. The Seahawks take on a Denver Broncos defense that really struggled to stop the run last year as they allowed the second most PPR points per game to the position. They also ranked 4th in explosive run rate allowed, 2nd in missed tackle force per attempt, 1st in yards after contact per attempt, and 4th in yards before contact per attempt as well. Broncos did make some moves this offseason to improve their defense. They signed Malcolm Roach and traded for the Jets for John Franklin Myers. According to PFF, Roach ranked 18th in run defense last season with the Saints. So I do think that that will help him. But overall, this is still a fantastic matchup for Kenneth Walker. And like I said, if he gets more involved in the passing game this year, I think Kenneth Walker could end up being a big time, I think, top 10 running back this year. So let's keep moving. Let's move over to Rashad White versus the Washington Commanders. While White was one of the most consistent running backs in the league last season, he only finished outside of the top 24 twice all season. There are some more concerns surrounding him this season. First, Dave Canales, in that scheme that he was in last year, is gone. He's now the head coach of the Panthers. Obviously, they did bring in the former Rams assistant and Kentucky OC, Liam Cohen, to be the new offensive coordinator. However, they have some questions about his overall usage, especially after they went out and brought in Bucky Irving to shoulder the load. And I'll say Bucky Irving has looked really good in preseason, been a lot of buzz around him. And I do think there's a chance here that he eats into this workload for Rashad White. And the biggest question mark is going to be his passing usage, because in the passing game, he was phenomenal last year. Over 500 receiving yards for Rashad White, but Bucky Irving is also a more than capable pass catcher. So this is going to be one of those situations I really want to see early on, but I will say this is a good matchup. The Commanders allowed the fifth most PPR points last year. They also allowed the seventh most rushing yards, the fifth most touchdowns, and the fifth most receiving yards. Commanders took an AARP approach to improving this roster, adding Austin Eckler, Zach Ertz, and Bobby Wagner this offseason, but they did add more to the defensive side with adding Dante Fowler, Frankie Luvo, Jeremy Chinn, Dorrance Armstrong, Clelin Ferrell, Michael Davis, and Jeremy Reeves. So they did add a lot to this defense, but I will expect that Rashad White should still be able to do his thing against the Commanders' defense. Now, lastly, in my RB1s, you have Kyren Williams. Now, he's had a really roller coaster ride this offseason, despite the monster 2023 campaign. First, they drafted Blake Corum in the third round. Then he was dealing with a foot injury over the offseason. And then we got the Shefty bomb that Kyren is all of a sudden now going to be serving as his team punt returner, which is weird for any starting running back to see this. This only drew in more detractors. This is going to be one thing that we're going to monitor this season. I still think he is going to be fine and can produce a lot, which is what he did last season. He averaged 19 carries, 4 targets per game, which was a fourth in opportunity share. He rushed for 1,100 yards and 15 touchdowns and averaged 21.3 fantasy points per game, even with, I think, a reduced workload this year, if that's what happens, because they've talked a lot about wanting to keep him healthy. I still think he could be an efficient runner, still be involved in the passing game. Now, I will say this. This is why we have him where we have him this week, is I don't love this matchup. The Lions were phenomenal last year against the run. They allowed the fewest fantasy points to the position. They also allowed the fewest rushing yards per game, but they did allow the 17th most touchdowns. They were solid against the pass, catching running backs as well, as they allowed the second fewest receptions, and they were bottom half of the league in receiving yards allowed to running backs. So this isn't a great matchup this week for Kyren Williams in terms of facing the Detroit Lions. I will say that, but I still think you're starting him. You obviously drafted probably in the second or third round of your fantasy drafts. You're definitely going to play him. Just have a little bit of tempered expectations.
The only thing that I'll touch on in the RB1s here, Travis Etienne, he was someone who I was more lukewarm on during the entire draft process, but I think this week one matchup against Miami sets up pretty well for him. That front seven for Miami was not great last year, and they lost a bunch of pieces. This game also has the second highest total on the week, I think, or it's tied for like the third highest, I believe. So Travis Etienne is someone who I actually do really like for this week, even though I was a little bit cooler on him than most throughout the draft process. So let's go ahead and move into the RB2s, kicking things off there with James Cook, followed by Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs, Joe Mixon, Alvin Kamara, Aaron Jones, David Montgomery, James Conner, Javonte Williams, Zamir White, Najee Harris, and Raheem Mostert finishes out our RB2s. Kev, same deal here. What do you got?
Yeah, let's start things off with James Cook. I actually have him as an RB1, low-end RB1, but Cook enters 2024 is one of probably the more polarizing players over the offseason. While James Cook's 2023 season was very much a tale of two halves, the change from Ken Dorsey to Joe Brady was massive for Cook, as he averaged 60.7 carries and nearly 4 targets per game with Brady. He also jumped from 12 fantasy points per game under Dorsey to nearly 17 fantasy points per game under Brady. Right out of the gates, Cook is one of the best matchups of the weekend, facing a Cardinals defense that allowed 140 rushing yards per game and well over a touchdown as well. They did make a few additions, adding Justin Jones and Bilal Nichols in free agency, as well as drafting Darius Robinson as 27th overall pick in the draft. The Cardinals defense likely is still in the bottom half of the league this year and will be a defense we want to target with either running backs or wide receivers. So James Cook, I think, is in a really good spot and a really good matchup here against the Cardinals. Now, we do have to monitor, because Ray Davis is going to be another situation. How much workload is he going to take? Is he going to be more utilized at the goal line? Is James Cook get those opportunities? So there's definitely some stuff we want to see here with James Cook early on in the season. But overall, I still think James Cook is going to be a really solid running back. Next up, we head to Brazil for the Brazil game again with the Eagles and the Packers. Josh Jacobs is next up. The newest addition enters 2024 in a really good spot to dominate touches. A.J. Dillon has already had a season-ending neck injury with Marshawn Lloyd. Is still working his way back from his own injury as well. He did avoid getting put on the IR. Jacobs should see the lion's share of the touches in the backfield, making him an intriguing option week one against the Eagles. Now, I will say the Eagles, while they were really bad last season on the defensive side of the ball, especially over the second half, they did still do a good job containing rushing attacks as they allowed the 10th fewest PPR points per game. And they also allowed the 5th fewest yards after contact per attempt and ranked 14th in stuff rate. One move that's going to be underrated this offseason that they did was they went out and brought in Vic Fangio as well. And Vic Fangio is one of the best defensive minds in the league. So I really like the Eagles defense take a step forward. So I'm a little bit iffy on Josh Jacobs. I think he's going to be still a solid high-end RB2 or low-end RB1 this week due to pure volume alone, because there's really nobody else that's going to be getting in his way. He could see 80%+ of the opportunities from this backfield this week. So really like Josh Jacobs, despite really what it will be a tough matchup. Moving on to Joe Mixon versus the Colts. He's now obviously the new running back for the Texans. He should have scoring opportunities, but I am concerned about his usage in the passing game. CJ Stroud had the lowest checkdown rate in the league last season, and the only targeted running back 74 times, which is the second lowest rate in the league as well. Joe Mixon last year saw 52 receptions and 376 receiving yards last season with 11% target share. This was something that really cuts him afloat because he's never really been somebody that's truly been an efficient runner. He's been more on volume and more a little bit more touchdown dependent last season, as he had 15 touchdowns last year. I don't think that part of his game is going to go away, but if he sees a significant loss in the passing game, then I would be a little bit concerned. But this is still a great matchup. The Colts' run defense was not very good last year, as they allowed the 4th most PPR points to the position. They also allowed the 6th most rushing yards, 4th most touchdowns, 8th most receptions, and the 8th most receiving yards as well. Now, obviously, I know things can change from year to year, so things can get a little bit better, but I still think this is going to be a good matchup week one for Joe Mixon. And so I do think he's a borderline top 12 running back as well this week against the Colts. Let's keep it moving here. Let's move to another player, Javonte Williams against the Seahawks. After a down year in which he was coming off a brutal knee injury, Javonte has shed some weight. He is now back down to his college playing weight. All reports from camps that he looks phenomenal and should lead the backfield in touches. Last season, Williams was 15th in weighted opportunities. He could crack the top 12 this season if he continues his rise back to being one of the best tackle breakers in the league. You couldn't ask for much of a better matchup against the Seahawks. Last season, the Seahawks allowed the 3rd most PPR points. They allowed the 2nd most touchdowns. Their defensive front should be improved this year, as they did draft Byron Murphy in the first round, but it's going to take some time for them to adjust to NFL speed. I think Javonte Williams is a solid RB2 option this week. And then lastly, Najee Harris. He enters as the number one option. Jaylen Warren is dealing with his own injury. His availability is up in the air for week one. But last season, Najee averaged 15 carries, 2.2 targets per game. But without Warren, Najee's likely going to see 20-plus touches as long as Cordell Patterson doesn't come in and take a bunch of touches from him. Because we're still dealing with Arthur Smith here as the offensive coordinator. But Najee Harris is still in a good spot against Atlanta. I will say, though, Atlanta was pretty good with stuffing defenses last year, allowing the 4th fewest PPR points per game. But I still think if Warren were to miss this game, Najee becomes a really solid low-end RB2 against the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, just a couple things for me. Similar to how I felt about Travis Etienne, I felt the same way about Aaron Jones this during draft season. But in this matchup going up against the Giants, I do like this spot for Aaron Jones. So if he's someone I would like to get into my lineups if I do have him. And then David Montgomery is someone I feel like is being looked over once again, obviously in favor of Jahmyr Gibbs this year. But this is another, Kev, beyond the top 24 running backs for this week, is there anyone further on down the list that you think the folks should know? Maybe they're in a deeper league, you know, maybe they have an extra flex spot. Who else do you like beyond the top 20?
I will say in week one, I'm going to be leaning way more towards wanting to play a wide receiver in the flex, especially in PPR formats that I do a running back. There's still a lot of things to shake out here in the running back position. I mean, you know, like the Chargers, how are they going to divvy up the touches with Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins both coming over from Baltimore? The Raiders were definitely a defense you could run against, as they allowed the 8th most PPR points. But will this be a 50-50 split, or will there be a clear-cut winner? If I had to put my money on anybody, it's probably going to be J.K. Dobbins. But, you know, out the gate, like, these situations aren't really, you know, shaken out. And so I don't want to put all my eggs in that basket of saying, okay, I'm definitely going to play this guy. I'd rather get in a wide receiver here, you know, to play in this spot. Just same as like the Bengals who take on a Patriots defense. That was middle of the road against running backs, allowing the 16th most PPR points in the position last year. But now this is their first game in the post-Bill Belichick era. This will also be the first game that Zach Moss and Chase Brown are working together, you know, and really during training camp and over the over preseason. These guys really just split touches 50-50. I don't know how this is going to shake out. I don't know which is going to be that guy. So I want more clarity on the situation. Kind of the same thing with the Titans. Now, I'll say the Titans really don't get a great matchup. The Bears' run defense was actually really good over the second half of last season. They were one of the most improved defenses last year once they kind of made some trades. And so Matt Eberflus took over as kind of the defensive calling duties. So that's another situation. I'm a little bit lower on Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears this week just because of the matchup. I don't think it's that great of a matchup for them, though I do think better weeks are ahead. Those are two running backs that I do like at cost. I think you have another somebody else like Chuba Hubbard, who I think is a fine like back end RB3 this week going up against the Saints. But I just think there's a lot of uncertainty around some of these guys. I don't necessarily love some of the matchups. Even someone like DeAndre Swift, who I just haven't loved this entire offseason. Like, I think he's a better pass catcher than he is runner of the football. It's not a bad matchup against the Tennessee Titans, but the Titans did do a lot of work this offseason, improving their defense, improving their offense. So I don't necessarily love him. I think DeAndre Swift for me is probably going to be like a low-end RB2, high-end RB3 pretty much every single week. But overall, like all these running backs, I really want to see how everything shakes out and start to get a feel for how these guys are going to be utilized. So if you did well enough drafting and you have a wide receiver, I'm probably going to be much more inclined to plug in a wide receiver versus a running back who we're just not sure how that's going to shake out. And lastly, just remember, don't overreact to week one. Okay, it happens every year. People way overreact to week one and what happens and freak out and start dropping players they shouldn't or think these guys aren't going to do something. So just keep that in mind because week one is always overreaction theater. Once we get to Monday and Tuesday, everybody's freaking out about stuff. But just keep that in mind. And like I said, we will be going live on Wednesday to answer all your start sit questions. We answer every single one of them. Remember, we have the Thursday night game plus a Friday game this week. So we want to get our lineups locked in. Let's win some championships week one. Funnest time of the year. It's like Christmas, waking up on Christmas morning and for your presents to see. And really, it's just fantasy points. And hopefully you don't get a dud or nobody gets hurt week one. So that being said, be sure to hit that like and subscribe button. We'll see you on the next one.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.